إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأفضل الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس اتقوا الله واعلموا قدر فضل العلم الذي اجتمعتم الآن من أجله، فأنتم وأنتم تستمعون إلى هذا النوع من العلم المستغرب على العامة نظرا لتفشي الدعوات الحزبية، فتعود العامة ممن نخر في جذعهم الجماعات الحزبية كالإخوان والسرورية والتبليغ وغيرهم أن المحاضرات لا تكون إلا قصص وحكايات وعظيات ونحو ذلك، وإنه حينئذ يكون هذا النوع من المحاضرات مستنكرا عند كثير من العامة نظرا لتفشي هذه الدعوات الحزبية، ولا يعلمون منزلة مثل هذه المحاضرة عند أئمة الدين كالإمام أحمد وغيره كما سيأتي الكلام عليه. فهذه المحاضرة بعنوان خطر جماعة الإخوان المسلمين. تفضل أيها المترجم.
السلام الله إليكم فضيلة الشيخ. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, indeed, all praises to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid, we ask His forgiveness. We seek the refuge of Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evils of our deeds. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomever Allah misguides, none can guide. And I bear witness and testify there is no God worthy of worship besides Allah alone without partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His final messenger. O you who have believed, revere Allah and do not die as He truly ought to be revered, and do not die except in a state of Islam. O mankind, revere your Lord, the one who has created you from a single soul, and from it created its spouse, and from the both of them spread many men and women, and revere Allah by the one by whom you ask of each other, and fear cutting the ties of kinship. Indeed, Allah was a watcher over you. O you who have believed, revere Allah and say that which is upright. Allah will then rectify your deeds for you and forgive your sins for you. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed won a tremendous victory. To proceed, Indeed, the best of speech is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all affairs are those that are newly added into the religion. Every newly added affair in the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire of hell. O mankind, fear Allah. And come to learn, come to recognize the virtue of this type of knowledge that you have all gathered today to study and listen to. For indeed, while listening to the like of this type of knowledge, knowledge that is deemed strange and unusual in the eyes of many of the laymen, that the sectarian calls have become prominent among them and widely embraced, those that have been afflicted and trialed by the calls of sectarian groups like the Ikhwan, the Brotherhood, and the Sururiya, and the Tablighi, Jama'atul Da'wah, they believe that this type of a lecture should be on the topic of telling some stories or tales or some kind of admonishment and the like of that. So to speak about a topic like this is, according to them, something that is unusual. In fact, something that is blameworthy. For indeed, many of the common folk, the laymen, they are unaware of the status of these types of lectures, lectures based in warning against dangers that many of the people of knowledge among the scholars of Islam used to deem of great importance, such as Al-Imam Ahmad and others from the people of knowledge, as we shall see. So the lecture that we are having today is titled The Danger of the Group Known as the Muslim Brotherhood. فليتفضل شيخنا مشكورا.
وإنه مما يدل على أهمية هذه المحاضرة ومنزلتها في العلم والفضل عند الله سبحانه وتعالى الحديث الذي خرجه مسلم في صحيحه من حديث تميم الداري رضي الله تعالى عنه، وهو أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الدين النصيحة. قيل: لمن يا رسول الله؟ قال: لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأمة المسلمين وعامتهم. وما رواه البخاري في صحيحه من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: أبو هريرة قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: وما تقرب عبدي إلي بمثل ما افترضته عليه. وقد علم بالشرع كما ذكر ابن تيمية رحمه الله بالإجماع وجوب التحذير من أهل الأهواء. وهذه فإذن ما تقرب عبدي لي مثل ما افترضته عليه، إذن التقرب إلى الله بفضح أهل الأهواء خير من نافلة الصوم والصلاة المستحبة، أليس الإمام أحمد سئل فقيل له: يصوم الرجل ويعتكف ويصلي خير أم يحذر من أهل الأهواء؟ قال إن صام وصلى واعتكف فله، وإن حذر من أهل الأهواء فهو له ولغيره وذلك أفضل. نعم.
صلى الله عليكم. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continued, he said, and from that which indicates the importance of this lecture and its virtue in terms of knowledge and its place with Allah Azza wa Jal, is the hadith narrated by Tamim al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, found in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the religion is sincere advice. They said, to whom? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Allah, to His book, to His messenger, to the leaders of the Muslims and their laymen. And likewise, the hadith found in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah subhanahu said, and surely my slave does not draw nearer to me with anything more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory upon him. The Shaykh explains how this hadith relates to the topic at hand. He said, and it is known from the legislation, as Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, and this is a matter of consensus among the people of knowledge, that it is an obligation to warn from the people of desires and people of innovation. In other words, if a slave draws nearer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with exposing the people of innovation, the people of desires, those who call to sectarianism, then he has drawn nearer to Allah with an obligatory act of worship, an act of worship that is better than supererogatory fast, supererogatory prayers, and the like. Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala was asked, a man fasts, meaning extra, a man makes an i'tikaf in the masjid, a man makes prayers, is that better? Or a man that warns from the people of desires? So Imam Ahmad responded, he said, if he fasts, if he makes the i'tikaf, if he prays, then this is for him. But if he warns from the people of innovation and desires, then this is for him and for others, this is better. Tafaddal wa ahsan Allah ilaykum.
فإذا كان ذلك كذلك فقد حذر علماؤنا في هذا العصر من هذه الجماعة تبعا للنصيحة التي وجهها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لهذه الأمة بأن تنصح لعامة المسلمين ويكون على ما ذكر شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية التحذير من أهل البدع والجماعات المضلة والأهواء فرض كفاية. معناها إذا ما قامت الكفاية من العلماء بالتحذير منهم فتخشى عليهم وإن كانوا علماء المؤاخذة عند رب الأرض والسماء، لأن فرض الكفاية هو الذي إذا قام به البعض ممن يستطيع سقط عن الباقين، فإذا لم يؤدي ذلك البعض المستطيع دوره ولم تقم الكفاية فإنه يخشى عليهم من المؤاخذة في الدار الآخرة. نعم.
أحسن الله إليكم. شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, if the affair is as we described, then indeed the scholars of our era have warned from this group, warned from them in following the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said this, the religion is sincere advice. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has entrusted to us to advise the laymen of the Muslims. And based on what Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, then warning the people of Islam from the people of innovation is an obligation that is called kifa'i, an obligation that is kifa'i. The Shaykh explains what it means when an obligation is kifa'i. It means that it is obligatory for those who can fulfill that obligation, who have the capability of fulfilling it, that a certain number of them step forward and fulfill that obligation. And if a sufficient number of them step forward to fulfill the obligation, then the obligation of Allah has been fulfilled. Otherwise, if an insufficient number of them step forward to fulfill it, then it is feared for those who are capable that they will all be inexcused, that they will all be liable for questioning before Allah Azza wa Jal for leaving that obligation unfulfilled. Na'am.
فحينئذ سأنقل لك العبارات التي حذر بها العلماء من هذه الجماعة في السابق واللاحق. فقال المحدث الكبير علامة مصر القدير أحمد شاكر: الإخوان المسلمون دعوة إجرامية هدامة ينفق عليها اليهود والشيوعيون. وقال إمام عصرنا عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله قال: جماعة الإخوان من الفرق الهالكة. وحينئذ لابد أن نتعرض لبيان لحقيقة ما قاله الشيخ بن باز الإمام رحمة الله عليه، وكيف أنه صنف هذه الجماعة أنها من الفرق الهالكة. أقول: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه الترمذي: وستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة، من كان على مثل ما عليه وأصحابي. وأخرج عبد الله المبارك: الفرقة إذا كانت كافرة كالجهمية، نعم، من هذه الفرق 73، فتبقى حينئذ الفرقة الضالة المبتدعة، فهؤلاء يحشرون ضمن هؤلاء 73. ووجه ذلك إذا فارقت تلك الجماعة الجماعة الأم، جماعة السلف، النبي والصحابة في أصل من أصولهم، ودعوا إليه وحاربوا الناس عليه وشقوا الصف، فلا بد أن يكونوا حينئذ من الفرق التي توعدت بالنار. نعم.
الله عليكم. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, based on the foregoing, I'm going to narrate to you some of the statements of the people of knowledge in our era by which they have warned against this group, the Muslim Brotherhood, such as the statement of the great Muhaddith, the scholar of Egypt, Sheikh Al-Allama Ahmad Shakir Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, where he said about the Muslim Brotherhood as follows: the Muslim Brotherhood is a criminal group, a destructive group funded by the Jews and the communists. And likewise, I will bring to your attention the statement of the Imam of our era, Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullahu ta'ala, where he said, the Muslim Brotherhood is one of the destroyed sects. Commenting on this statement, the Shaykh said, it is very important that we come to realize the depth of meaning found in the statement of a Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, and how it is that he came to classify this group as a destroyed sect. And this is understood when we examine the hadith narrated in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that the Prophet ﷺ said, that his nation will split into 73 different sects, each of which is going to end up in the hellfire except for one. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, the great Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he further clarifies the meaning of this hadith by illustrating the fact that groups like the Jahmiyyah that affiliate themselves to Islam, however, in their actions and in their statements, they have left Islam entirely and they have abandoned it and they have apostated from it, are not included in this hadith. In other words, when we count the 73 sects that are ending up in the hellfire that the Prophet ﷺ intended in this hadith, we don't count groups that have exited Islam, like the Jahmiyyah. In other words, this hadith talks about those who still have an attachment to Islam, but they have become misguided and deviant and innovators, and they are from the people of the hellfire. However, they are still Muslims. So when you understand this, you understand that the Shaykh is referring to the Muslim Brotherhood as a group that has split off from the main group of the Muslims, from, if you wish to say, the mother group of the Muslims, meaning those who preceded us upon piety, the Messenger ﷺ and his companions. In other words, this must be a group that has separated from the Muslims in one of their foundational principles, and they have innovated another principle to replace it. And then they called to their principle, and then they fought to defend their principle, and then they broke the unity of the Muslims in the pursuit of establishing their principle in replacing of the principles of Islam. So this is a group that is threatened with and warned of being from the groups that are headed towards the hellfire.
ويكفي في مخالفة الإخوان لمنهج السلف الذي هو منهج الفرقة الناجية الطائفة المنصورة مخالفتهم في أصلين. الأول ترك الاحتكام للكتاب والسنة وعمل سلف الأمة في منهج الدعوة الذي هو منهج الأنبياء والرسل من الدعوة للتوحيد والاحتكام في منهج الجهاد والتكفير ومعاملة الحكام ونحو ذلك إلى ذينك الأصلين بفهم السلف. فالأصل الذي يعني يرتكزون عليه في دعوتهم التحسين العقلي، وهذا مبدأ المعتزلة، وهم الذين يقولون بالتحسين والتقبيح العقليين، ولذلك لم يتبعوا الرسل، لم يتبعوا الكتاب والسنة في إثبات الصفات، فتدينوا بنفي الصفات بزعمهم عقلا، لأن إثباتها على الوجه الذي جاءه الكتاب والسنة وإجماع السلف يؤدي إلى تشبيه الله بخلقه، فقدموا العقل على النقل، وهذا هو الأصل الذي تمشي عليه جماعة الإخوان المسلمين، وهو تقديم التحسين والتقبيح العقليين بعيدا عن منهج السلف والاحتكام للكتاب والسنة. فالكتاب والسنة في مثلا يأمران ببيعة ولي الأمر، وهم يرون أنه لا بيعة في العالم تصلح إلا لهم، فيقول حسن البنا المؤسس لهذه الجماعة يقول: فدعوتكم يا جماعة الإخوان أحق أن يأتيها الناس ولا تأتي هي أحد، إذ هي جماع كل خير وغيرها لا يسلم من النقص عياذا بالله. فحينئذ الدعوة التي ذكر النبي أنها باقية القيام الساعة ناقصة عنده، إذ أن النبي قال لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم ولا من خالفهم حتى يأتي أمر الله. فهو يعتبر أن كل طائفة دون الإخوان ناقصة، فحينئذ يلقي بالتهمة على الدعوة السلفية المباركة أنها ناقصة ومحتاجة للإخوان، ويجب على السلفيون على السلفيين أن ينضموا إليهم ويعودوا إليهم، فهي الجماعة التي يتاب إليها ولا تتوب إلى غيرها. فأي دليل أعظم أنهم قد تورطوا في المنهج العقلاني الذي يضاد المنهج السلفي الذي يرجع الناس الكتاب والسنة بفهم السلف، فشاقوا طريقة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، وحينئذ دخلوا في الآيات التي هي من صفات المشركين ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا نعم وكانوا شيعة ولا تكونوا من المشركين من الذين تفرقوا من الذين ولا تكونوا من المشركين، وذكر صفتهم من الذين تفرقوا واختلفوا وكانوا شيعة نعم، فهم افترقوا عن المنهج وحينئذ صاروا إلى ما علمتم.
أحسن الله إليكم الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said it is sufficient in determining how this group is actually in opposition to the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to mention the first of them is how they have abandoned using the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the application, the practical application of Islam as found among the predecessors of this ummah. They have abandoned using these as a reference and as a referee in affairs that people differ in. Specifically, this can be seen in the methodology of calling to Allah, which is the methodology originally of the prophets and the messengers. The methodology of calling first and primarily to Tawheed, the worship of Allah alone without partners. Likewise, they have separated from the Quran and the Sunnah and the application and understanding of the predecessors of this ummah when it comes to issues like jihad, fighting in the cause of Allah, and takfir, who it is that deserves a label of having become an apostate or a kafir, a non-Muslim. Likewise, the issue of how it is that we should deal with the leaders of the Muslims. In reality, what they will refer to, what they deem as a reference, as a referee as well, is what the mind will come to see as suitable, and likewise what the mind will come to see as unsuitable. And in reality, this is a principle that was innovated by the Mu'tazila. It is the Mu'tazila that deemed this as a principle that takes precedence over the Qur'an, over the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for this reason that the Mu'tazila have reached the conclusion that the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be affirmed as found in the Qur'an and the Sunnah, rather they should be rejected and denied. Because according to their minds, if you affirm the attributes of Allah, His descriptions as found in the Qur'an, as found in the Sunnah, then you have likened Allah to the creation. This is what they're saying. This is their claim. So, this shows us that the Muslim Brotherhood are following the same methodology by using their minds as the ruler that rules over the Qur'an, and rules over the Sunnah, rules over the understanding of our predecessors. So when it comes to this particular foundational principle, the Muslim Brotherhood are very far from the principles of those that have preceded us upon piety. The principle of using the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger ﷺ as a referee. To give an example, They do not use the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger وسلم, as a referee when it comes to the matter of the Bay'ah. The Bay'ah means the pledge of allegiance to the Muslim leader. In fact, they claim that there is not a single Bay'ah in existence in the world that is correct and upright except if it is established towards them. In other words, any pledge of allegiance to a Muslim leader by the people and the countrymen in the area over which he resides is an invalid one. And here is a statement from their leader, Hassan al-Banna, one of their founders, who said, addressing his followers, "Your calling is the calling that has the most right to be followed and that people come to it. And none of you should come to any other calling. It's a calling that does not answer the calls of others." And he mentioned أحسن الله إليكم يا شيخنا ذكرتم كلام حسن البنا أنه قال دعوتهم أحق أن يأتيها الناس ثم ماذا
ولا تأتي أحد وهي الإخوان لا يأتون أحد بل كل الناس يبايعونهم ينبغي وهم لا يبايعون أحد
أيوة وقولك لا يسلم من النقص تكملة هذه العبارة إيش
لا يسلم من النقص أي دعوة إلا هم
أي نعم أحسن الله إليكم شيخ جزاء الله خيرا he mentioned that he said and that they have the right that people come to them and no one has the right besides them that the people come to them and that every calling has a flaw in it except for their calling it is the perfect calling the sheikh then commented he said عياذاً بالله we seek the refuge of Allah This includes the calling of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, if they only understood. Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين. There will continue to be a group from my ummah upon the truth and prominent, unharmed by those who let them down, unharmed by those who oppose them. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established that a group from his ummah will continue to call the same way he called, continue to be upon the methodology that he was upon. So Hassan al-Banna is thus establishing that those who are upon the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, their calling is flawed. In essence, the calling of the Messenger ﷺ was a flawed calling. According to them, every calling must repent to Allah and come to them, and they do not need to repent. What other evidence do we need to establish and show that they are a calling based upon the mind, not upon the revelation? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us from the like of this. And Allah azza wa jal also informed us of the existence of this amongst the people. And the Shaykh said this ayah applies to them. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا
وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ من الذين تفرقوا واختلفوا وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ من الذين تفرقوا واختلفوا
أحسن الله إليكم The Shaykh جزاه الله خيرا and corrected me the ayah is The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا
فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا نعم.
Do not be from the polytheists, those who have separated their religion into sects and became separate groups, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ Every group from among them overjoyed by that which they have. تفضل أحسن الله إليكم.
ويقول الدكتور صلاح الصاوي وهو من كبار منظريهم وهو يتحدث عن الانتماء للأحزاب ومن تخلف عن الانضمام لمثل هذه الجماعة فإنه يأثم كإثمه عن ترك أي فريضة يعني يقصد كصيام رمضان والصلاة الفريضة أو تكليف شرعي
Shaykh Zahla Khairan, he said that Salah al-Sawi, one of their main thinkers and leaders of thought among them, he says, whoever does not hasten to join our group, then he is sinful. He is a sinner, just like anyone who does not hasten to fulfill the obligations of Allah, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon the Muslims. نعم.
ويكفي من مقالات منظريهم الأب الروح الكبير لجماعة الإخوان وهو سيد قطب وهو الذي يكفر المجتمعات المسلمة ويرى أن مساجدهم معابد جاهلية ويرى أن الجمعة ساقطة إلى أن يأتي الإمام الشرعي المبايع.
And another statement the Shaykh said is actually sufficient to incriminate them is the statement of one of their thought leaders who perhaps is fitting to be called a godfather for them or a spiritual leader, and namely that is Sayyid Qutb, who issues blanket statements of takfir against Muslim communities and societies en masse, where he labels the majority of the Muslims as disbelievers. And he names the masajid as temples of the pagan era. And he says that Salat al-Jumu'ah is not an obligation until there is a valid and legislatively acceptable leader among the Muslims.
وأنهم يريدون السمع والطاعة لهم مطلقا وليس عندهم إمام وليس عندهم دولة ويقيمون إمارة في الحضر مبايعة وتنظيم سري وهذا ابتداع في دين الله سبحانه وتعالى. يقول معنى الجماعة الطبري يقول الذين في طاعة من اجتمعوا على تأميره, إذن المقصود أن يكون لهم طاعة وقوة وشوكة حتى يكون ولاة أمر شرعيين, وهؤلاء لا ولاية لهم فبالعقل يجعلون السمع والطاعة واجبة لهم ولا دليل شرعي يوجب على المسلمين طاعة من كان دون الأمير المبايع الشرعي, وهم يوجبون ذلك عقلا من غير دليل. فالمعروف أن السمع والطاعة تكون للأمير الذي له شوكة وظلت له الرقاب, وحينئذ يكون يجب طاعته, وهذا لا يوجبون ما لم يجبه الله بالتحسين العقلي.
شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He clarified another point, that they want that people fall under their wings in terms of listening and obeying as if they are the leaders, without any questioning and without any hesitation. Although the fact of the matter is, none of them is a leader of the Muslims, and that they do not have any areas under their control. In fact, they will sometimes appoint a leader in secret, although they will be among the community and living in the midst of a city or a town. But they will secretly appoint a leader that they will require everyone to pledge allegiance to. And they will organize behind closed doors to the pursuit of such goals. And Al-Imam Al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains what it means to be a group that is united. What is the meaning of Al-Jama'ah? He said, those who unite behind a man that they have agreed to hold as a leader among them. So what is the meaning of this, or what is the intent of this type of practice in Islam? The intent behind it is to bring unity and strength to the Muslims through numbers, through unity, through brotherhood, through aiding and supporting one another, the leader, the led, and the led, the leader. However, according to them, according to their minds and their methodology, it is obligatory to pledge allegiance to them, dropping any existing pledge of allegiance to another leader. Although there is no evidence to make this an obligation, but purely the desires of their minds, they claim that this is what the sound mind says, that they deserve the pledge of allegiance of every Muslim. And they thus are saying that the actual leaders of the Muslims, those who are in power, those who are in control, those who are in charge of the affairs, those that people have already submitted to and have accepted their leadership, people should withdraw from obedience to them. نعم.
فهم ليس لهم ولاية كما ترون لا شرعا ولا قدرا. قدرا الواقع يدل أنهم على ولاية, وشرعا فقد قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية لا يصير الرجل إماما حتى يوافقه أهل الشوكة عليها الذي يحصل بطاعتهم له مقصود الإمامة. فإن المقصود من الإمام يحصل بالقدرة والسلطان, فإذا بويع بيعة حصلت بها القدرة والسلطان صار إماما. فهؤلاء لا شوكة ولا قدرة ولا قوة ولا حتى تحكيم شريعة التي إذا وصلوا للحكم حكموها كما وصل مرسي ووصلوا في تونس. فمنهم من انحل إلى العلمنة كما في تركيا وكما في تونس, ومنهم من عياذا بالله تخلى عن تحكيم الشريعة الذي كان يصف من لم يحكم بها أنه طاغوت, فلما حكم هو بها صار هو صاحب السياسة الذي يعتذر له. فهذا يدل أنها دعوة عقلانية لا تقوم على مبدأ يرجع الكتاب والسنة وفهم سلف الأمة.
حسن الله إليكم. بشيء جزاه الله خيرا. He says, based on the foregoing, we see that these are people who have no right to call to a pledge of allegiance, who have no right to claim that they are leaders. In fact, neither qadaran nor shara'an do they have such a right. As for qadaran, in terms of the pre-decree and the destiny of Allah, then this is something you simply look around you and you will see it. Where is their leadership? Where is their power? Where are their armies? Where is their country? Where is the land that they control? Nowhere. And as for the legislation, then the matter is, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala explained, a man is not to be deemed an imam, a leader, until those in power submit to him and fall under his leadership and fall under his wing. So when a man gains that type of power and he takes hold of the reins and takes control of the powers and resources of the nation, then he is the leader. But these people, as you can see, they have no power, they have no control, they have no resources over the people in charge of the strength of the Muslims and their power, nor, in fact, do they refer to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger when it comes to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although they say that they want to apply the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal and bring it into prominence and bring it into practice, but the reality has shown that these are empty claims. In fact, when some of them have reached power, we have seen that they have completely abandoned al-Islam, such as Mursi in Egypt when he briefly was in power, such as what happened in Tunisia. You see that some of them did the opposite of what they claimed, and they completely turned to sectarianism and the abandonment of religion in the way they ruled, such as what happened in Turkey, what happened in Tunis. And likewise, you see from some of them that have abandoned using the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they reached power, claiming that this is a political necessity. And as such, they have a valid excuse not to apply the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although they are in power. This is proof that their methodology is one that is based on the mind and what the mind dictates, not based upon the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am.
وانظر الحافظ البيهقي قديما ماذا قال، وهو الذي عاش في نحو القرن الرابع قريب من عهد الرسول، قال في حديث ولاة المسلمين: أراد صلى الله عليه وسلم خلفاء أو أمراء تكون لهم ولاية وعدة وقوة وسلطة والناس يطيعونهم ويجري حكمهم عليهم، فأما أناس لم تقم لهم راية ولم تجري لهم على الناس ولاية، وإن كانوا يستحقون الإمارة بما كان لهم من حق القرابة والكفاية فلا يتناولهم الخبر، إذ لا يجوز أن يكون المخبر بخلاف الخبر، فهم حزب لا ولاية لهم، ولا يجوز أن يوجبوا على الناس طاعتهم وإيجابهم يكون بالتحسين العقلي الذي دل على أنهم خالفوا الأصل الذي يصير عليه منهج أهل السنة والجماعة، فكانوا حينئذ يستحقون ما قاله الشيخ بن باز أنه من الفرق الهالكة. والأصل الثاني هو مخالفتهم لأصل الولاء والبراء المعروف، التبرؤ من الشرك وأهله والولاء لأهل التوحيد والسنة، فهم يعكسون ذلك، يوالون أهل الشرك الرافضة نعم لمصالحهم، ويعادون أهل التوحيد والسنة ويرون أنهم أهل فرقة، نعوذ بالله من انتكاس الفطرة. فحينئذ وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أوثق عرى الإيمان الولاء والبراء في الله، وهم عكسوه، فلا يمكن أن يكون بعد مخالفتهم هذا الأصل على الطريق الذي رسمه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الفرقة الناجية، فلا بد أنهم يكونوا قد افترقوا إلى أحد الفرق الهالكة التي حذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منها. ومن فروع ذلك أنهم قالوا: نتعاون فيما اتفقنا فيه ويعذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه، يعني كما قال علامة الألباني: وقد عاصرهم 40 سنة حتى لو خالفوا في أصل كالشرك أو كالتوحيد عفوا أو الصفات أو غير ذلك. لذلك ينادي دعاتهم أن الرافضة إخواننا ولا فرق بيننا وبينهم، فكيف يكونون على هذا الأصل القويم والصراط المستقيم؟
صلى الله عليكم بشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, and let us take a look at the statement of Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullahu ta'ala from the scholars of the 4th century, meaning he was very close to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, commenting on a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about those in positions of leadership. He said what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intended are those who have reached eminence and prominence, and those who have reached power, and those that the Muslims have submitted to their leadership and to their direction, such that the resources were given to them, and the control of the powers of the Muslims and their armies and their gear and equipment and so on and so forth, all of that was submitted to them and given to them, such that the reins were in their hands. However, the Prophet ﷺ did not intend those who have no power, those who are not in charge, although some of those who make a claim to this may have had a certain claim to it based on their lineage or their virtues or their knowledge and so on and so forth. But as long as they have not reached prominence and power and those in charge did not submit to them, then they are not included in these narrations. This shows us that they are simply a sect that has no power, no control. It is not permissible for them to claim that it is obligatory for every Muslim to submit to their rule, and it is obligatory for every Muslim to deem them as leaders. This is impermissible, a claim for them to make. The Shaykh, Jazahullah Khairan, goes on to say, this shows us that they have gone against one of the principles of the people of the Sunnah in this matter, that they obligate not based on what Allah said, that they obligate not based upon what the Messenger said, they obligate based upon their desires, based upon what their minds are telling them to obligate. And this is why they deserve to be called what Sheikh Ibn Baz called them, rahimahullah ta'ala, that they are from al-firaq al-halika, from the destroyed sects. The second principle that we want to discuss, in which they have differed from the people of Islam, is the principle of al-wala wal-bara, the famous principle of allegiance and disavowment. In other words, to have an allegiance to tawheed, to the worship of Allah alone, to the word la ilaha illallah, and to those who practice it, and those who are upon it in reality, in truth. And likewise, to disavow and to distance oneself and to show hatred for the worship of other than Allah and for those who practice it and those who call to it. When you look at the practices of this group, you see that they are on the complete opposite of that. You see them showing an alliance and a close relation to the Rafida, who are polytheists. And by the same token, they show an enmity and a hatred for the people of Tawheed and those who call to the worship of Allah alone without partners. The Shaykh commenting on this, he said, we seek Allah's refuge from having our nature distorted as such. Then the Shaykh brought the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he spoke about awthaqu ura al-iman, the strongest and most sure of the handles by which the faith is held on to, is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. You see their love for the enemies of Allah. You see their hate for the allies of Allah. It is impossible, after the existence of such evidence to be seen and witnessed among them, that they can be considered from those who are guided. In fact, this is proof that they are from the sects that have left the unity of the Muslims and have abandoned it. And they are as such deserving to be called from the destroyed sects that the Prophet ﷺ warned about. And one of the ways by which we can see this is the principle that they mentioned, نَتَعَاوَنُوا فِيمَا تَفَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ. They agreed that we are going to aid and support one another in the things that we have an agreement upon. As for the things that we disagree upon, we're each going to give each other an excuse. Meaning, we're going to let you have your opinion and we have our opinion. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, commenting on this principle. And Sheikh Al-Albani is a man who has witnessed these people and has seen them up close and dealt with them for 40 years. Sheikh Al-Albani commenting on this principle, he says, even if that thing that they differ in is one of the foundations of Islam, such as a tawheed, such as the methodology of the prophets, you see them, the Sheikh is commenting, saying about the Rafida, the polytheists, that they are our brothers. How then can they make a claim that they are deserving of the title of leaders of the Muslims and the title that they are upon guidance. تفضل أحسن الله إليكم.
ثالثا أنهم يعكسون دعوة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالمنهج العقلاني السالف الذي ذكرنا عنهم, إذ أنهم يقولون أولا الحكم ثم الإصلاح, بينما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يبحث عن إصلاح الناس وإخراجهم من الشرك وعبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد, ثم جاء الحكم تبعا. فهذا ابتداع عقلاني لا علاقة له بالمنهج النبوي وما كان عليه الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم, وهذا وحده يكفي في مفارقتهم للدعوة الأمة الذي كان عليها النبي والصحابة واستحقاقهم الخروج من الفرقة الناجية إلى الفرق الهالكة.
شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, thirdly, is that they do the exact opposite when it comes to calling to Allah. They do the exact opposite of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did as a result of this so-called methodology based on the mind. So they say the first goal in any calling is to reach power, is to take charge of the land and the people. Then we will begin rectifying the ills found in the society. However, if you compare this to the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam began first of rectifying the ills found in society, starting with the greatest of all of them, and that is the worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rectified that by calling to the worship of Allah alone without partners, by calling the people to free themselves from servitude to other than Allah, and join the freedom that can be attained by servitude only to the Lord of all creation, subhanahu. And then, leadership came as a consequence of that. Leadership came as a byproduct of calling to this unifying message, the message of worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So this methodology of theirs that is completely in opposition to the methodology of the Prophet ﷺ is really an innovation that resulted from using their minds and deeming them higher than the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. And that alone is sufficient to prove and show that they are not from the group that the Prophet ﷺ has labeled as a guided group. Rather, they are from the groups that have separated from and have splintered off and became from the misguided groups, the destroyed groups. تفضل يا شيخ.
منهجهم هذا العقلاني الذي فارقوا فيه أهل السنة قائم على نهج وهو الخروج أبدا على الحكومات إلا حزبهم واعتقاد أن كل حكومة غيرهم يجب الخروج عليها، يجب أن يخرج عليها. ولذلك يقول عبد الله ناصح العلوان وهو أحد منظريهم، قال نحن نتغلغل في الحكومات ونخترق الوزارات في الحكومة ونحو ذلك حتى تأتي مرحلة التنفيذ ولحظة الحسم، فحينئذ نخرج، تأتي الحد الفاصل، ونخرج في ساعة الصفر. فهم يسعون للتغلغل في الحكومات لحدوث إحداث الانقلابات وتحكيم منهجهم الفاسد، وهو بعد ذلك ينظر للمجتمع، ما ينظر للدين، فيحكم حسب المجتمع ما يريد، لا ما لا يريد رب العبيد سبحانه. فهم متربصون بالحكم، مفارقون للجماعة التي أمر النبي بالانتساب إليها، فقال من خرج عن الجماعة ومات فمات ميت جاهلية، من رأى من أميره شيئا ينكره يعني فليصبر، فإنه من خرج عن الجماعة قيد شبر فمات ميت جاهلية. فهم حينئذ أهل هذه الجاهلية التي يصفون المجتمعات بها أنها مجتمع جاهلية، فإن الجاهلية لا يرون لأحد يحكمهم وهم كذلك.
الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, likewise, this school of thought of theirs that is based on the mind, not upon the revelation, has led them to legislate that forever any government other than a government that belongs to them is a government that is not truly established on the legislation. It is an invalid government. So as a result of this, they say that it is obligatory to revolt against and to overthrow every government that ever comes into existence unless it is theirs. This is their methodology. In fact, this is their creed and belief. One of their thinkers, Abdullah Al-Alwan, he says, explaining their methodology, that we try to infiltrate and we try to lodge ourselves inside of governments, inside of sensitive positions in the government. We try to ascend the ranks and climb in positions of power, all the while remaining inactive until 0 hour comes, until the final moment that we have agreed to arrives. It is at that point that we will begin the process of overthrowing the government, yani from within. So in other words, the reason they seek positions of power and the reason they join the process of the political process and the process of government work and so on and so forth is simply to infiltrate and to gain a foothold within certain establishments, to call to their ways and to get ready for what they term 0 hour, the time at which a revolution is going to be ignited and started, so they can reach power. And once they do, once they reach power, they will look at the society to determine what rules and laws need to be replaced and put into place. They will not look at the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, the sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to rule by the rules of Allah, to establish the rule of the Lord of all creation upon His slaves. Rather, it is going to be based upon what they deem is suitable for that particular society. So in reality, they are constant enemies waiting to afflict harm upon the Muslims. And in reality, what the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described in the following narrations applies to them. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever exits from the group that is united, even a single hand span, and then he dies upon that, then he has died upon a state of jahiliyyah, pre-Islamic ignorance. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also said that whoever sees from his leader shay'an, yani whoever sees from his leader something that he dislikes, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he should be patient. He should be patient. And the Shaykh explained, there is that the Prophet ﷺ said, for indeed there is no one that separates from the group that is united even a single handspan, and then he dies upon that, except that he will die a death of jahiliyyah. So this jahiliyyah that they are accusing the Muslims of having fallen into, in reality, the sunnah proves that they are the ones that have fallen into it. Naam Shaykh.
وهي حقيقة جماعة لها ارتباط باليهود، كما قال أحمد شاكر، حركة إجرامية يدعمها اليهود، فإني رأيت فيه أوجه شبه باليهود، لأنهم لهم علاقة بالرافضة والرافضة لها علاقة باليهود، بل لهم هم علاقة باليهود. أليس يجحدون الثوابت من أجل الدنيا ومن أجل تكتيل الناس؟ ألم يقل سيدهم وأبهم الروح المعاصر يوسف القرضاوي الحرية عياذا بالله مقدمة على الإسلام؟ ويقول السويدان أنه لا بأس للرجل أن يرتد عن دينه فيكون يهوديا أو مجوسيا أو نصرانيا عياذا بالله. إذن هذه جماعة لا تقوم على الدين الحق الذي جاء به محمد وتريد تأسيس دولة إسلامية، بل تريد تأسيس دولة منحلة تقوم على المصالح الدنيوية التي لا علاقة بها بالعقيدة ولا تحكيم الشريعة ولا غير ذلك. ويقول القرضاوي، وربما رد بعض الناس ذلك إلى عيب في الجماعة، وهو ضعف الاهتمام بالجانب الثقافي والعلمي والتأصيل الفكري حتى شيخنا البهي الخولي عندما وجهنا في كتيبة الذبيح كان أكبر همه التوجيه الروحي والسلوكي، وهو مهم ولا شك، ولم يكن هو همه التكوين العلمي والثقافي، ولذلك لم يوجهنا لقراءة أي كتاب نقرأه، بل كان يكلفنا أو يكلفنا بأي شيء علمي نقوم به. كانت الفكرة المسيطرة أن يدربنا على السمع والطاعة العمياء التي لا تقبل النقاش، ولذلك من خالفهم أو ناقشهم أو كشف حالهم سبوه وشتموه ولم ينظر إلى براهينه وحججه، وبهتوه ولو كان أميرا أو عالما أو وزيرا، فقاتلهم الله أن يؤفكون. خلصنا الله من شرهم، وجزى الله خير بهذه المناسبة الأمير محمد بن سلمان صاحب السلم الملكي ولي العهد الذي جفف نابعهم بالقبض عليهم، ثم وزير الشؤون الإسلامية عبد اللطيف آل الشيخ الذي قام مقاما حسنا عظيما بتطهير المنابر منهم بالمملكة العربية السعودية، إذ أن الشيطان وجه دعوة الإخوان أكثر ما وجه لإسقاط هذه الدولة، لأن بسقوطها تسقط كل الدعوات المخالفة لهم في العالم. فنسأل الله أن يجعل تدبيرهم على هذه الدولة وتعاونهم عليها مع الإيرانيين والقطريين وغيرهم كيوسف القرضاوي والأتراك وغيرهم تدميرا عليهم، وأن يقسم ظهورهم ويشتت كلمتهم وينصر أهل الإسلام والسنة عليهم، إنه سميع الدعاء مجيب. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
أحسن الله إليكم وأثابكم خيرا كثيرا شيخ، ونسأل الله أن يثقل موازينكم بما تفضلتم به وأن ينفعنا به وسائر إخواننا. The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan, he said this group is connected to the Jews just like Al-Allama Ahmad Shakir rahimahullah ta'ala had mentioned, that they are a criminal group funded by the Jews or supported by the Jews. The Sheikh said, and I can see many types of similarities between them and the Jews. For example, they have a close relationship with the Rafidah, and the Jews as well, they have a close relationship with the Rafidah. Likewise, the Jews have abandoned the religion in terms of seeking worldly gains. The same applies to this group. Isn't it the fact that Tariq al-Suwaydan, one of their thinkers, has said that there is no harm for a man to apostate and adhere to Judaism or Christianity or Magianism? We seek the refuge of Allah from this. And the Sheikh mentioned another statement from Yusuf al-Qaradawi that I did not catch. So the Sheikh then mentioned after this, this is proof that this is a group that is not upon the religion of the truth. Rather, this is a group that is seeking to reach power, to become an entity that is completely free of the religion, completely based upon the attainment of worldly gains. This is not a group that is interested in the pursuit of the correct creed and belief system, nor is it a group that is interested in establishing the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the land. And the Shaykh then mentioned a quote where Al-Qaradawi mentioned some of the history of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he said that during some of the teachings and sessions that they would hold with some of their leaders, Al-Qaradawi noticed that there was no real interest in spreading knowledge and education among them. He commented how during a certain session attended with Al-Bahi Al-Khawli, they were being trained to show absolute, unflinching, and completely blind adherence to the commands of their leaders and to their direction. In other words, they were being taught to blindly follow and not question anything. And this is why the Shaykh comments, you see that whenever anyone speaks ill of them or critiques them or mentions one of their mistakes, they will immediately turn into a state of enmity against that person without looking at why he said what he said, without looking at any evidence that he may have presented, whether it be from the Quran or from the Sunnah, without looking at the status of the person that has critiqued them. Be it a scholar, be it a man of virtue, be it a leader from amongst the leaders of the Muslims, or be it a man that is in a high and lofty position in government, they have complete enmity for anyone that critiques them or believes that there is any mistakes that are going to come from them. What they want is complete and absolute power over their followers, where you have no voice, where you have no opinion, no mind of your own. You cannot determine what is right and what is wrong. You are simply supposed to follow blindly and take instructions without having any opinion of your own. The Shaykh then took advantage of the moment and he said, while we are on the topic, I would like to take advantage of this moment to thank the leadership of Saudi Arabia, specifically His Eminence Prince Muhammad ibn Salman, the Crown Prince. May Allah preserve him and may Allah aid him upon the truth and strengthen him, for having brought into captivity and issued commands for the arrest of many of the members of this group. And likewise to thank Sheikh Abdul Latif al-Sheikh, the Minister of Islamic Affairs, who was very important and was pivotal. He played a pivotal role in the purification of the pulpits of Saudi Arabia from the control of individuals affiliated with this group. For indeed, the plot of the devil is to use elements of this group and members of this group for attempting to bring down Saudi Arabia, because this is the country that is still established upon the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not upon the methodology of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, it is a methodology that opposes them completely and totally. Then the Shaykh jazahullah khairan concluded by making an abundant amount of dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the people of Islam and protect them from the evils of this group and their plotting. The Shaykh mentioned some of the names of entities that in today's world are supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, such as Iran, such as Turkey, such as Qatar, and individuals such as Al-Qaradawi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims from their evils. We ask Allah to protect Saudi Arabia, its leadership, and its scholars from their evils. The Shaykh concluded with that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it heavy on his scales on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah to make this beneficial for all of us and for those who shall listen to it in the future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
أختم كلمتي بالإشادة أيضا بما حذر منه ولي العهد، أنه أول قائد عربي يحذر من السرورية. هذا يدل على سعة الاطلاع على الجماعات وخطرها، وهي جماعة انشقت من الإخوان. السرورية هي حركة انشقت من الإخوان، وخطرها أنها لما رأت المملكة العربية السعودية قائمة على دعوة الشيخ محمد الوهاب، وهم أعظم ما بين من أعظم ما بين عيونهم بإعاز من يهود ودعوات غربية وشرقية لإسقاط المملكة، نافقوا مثل منافقين الأولين، فصاروا يظهرون عباءة الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب، فيسوون دورات في التوحيد واغتر بهم العلماء. هذا الخطر فيهم، داخلوا العلماء، داخلوا بعض الوزراء، داخلوا بعض الأمراء ربما، وأقنعوهم أنهم على دعوة الشيخ محمد الوهاب وطاعة ولي الأمر ربما في الظاهر ونحو ذلك، ولكن يلبسون أو في باطنهم أو حول أعناقهم كرفتة حسن البنا، فيريدون إسقاط الحكومات
طريق مقدمات علمية ومنهم الطريفي، فيذكر خلافات ويذكر تأصيلات ويجيب عن الأحاديث والفقه، حتى إذا رجع الناس إليهم باسم أنهم علماء أفتوا بجواز الخروج. وهذا خطرهم أعظم الإخوان الذين سمعتم قبل قليل يقولون ما كانوا يأمرون بتثقيف علمي إلا السمع والطاعة، فسينكشفون عند الطبقات العلمية وسيفضحون. لكن السرية يدخلون ويتشبهون بالسلفية في العناية بالعلم وكذا، لكن العلم يستعملونه مقدم للخروج، وهذا أخطر ما يكون، إذن الناس يغترون بهم. وسنلتقيكم إن شاء الله في لقاء آخر، والله أعلم، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد.
أثابكم الله شيخ، جزاكم عنا خيرا. The Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he concluded with also commending and thanking Prince Muhammad ibn Salman Hafizahullah Ta'ala for being the first of the Arab leaders, the leaders of the Muslimin, to ever speak out publicly against the group known as the Sururiyya. The Shaykh explains who the Sururiyya are. They are a group that has splintered from the Muslim Brotherhood. The danger of this group is that they noticed that Saudi Arabia was in the following of the call of a Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. So, being inspired by Jews and other influences, Eastern and Western and so on and so forth, they took a path that is identical to the path of the hypocrites of old, where they would show one thing and in reality believe in another. And so they appeared publicly and openly to support the same call, the call to Tawheed, the call that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala revived. And so they would establish, for example, seminars based on knowledge, teaching books of Tawheed and so on and so forth. And they attempted to come close to certain scholars. They attempted to even come close to certain members of government. But in reality, they were wearing the same necktie that Hassan al-Banna used to wear. They would show one thing and believe another. They would use this knowledge, they would use these calls, they would use the seminars and the talks and so on and so forth to find a back door into influencing societies and reaching the same goal that the Muslim Brotherhood had, which is to revolt against the governments and overthrow them and replace them with their own leadership. From among them is Abdul Aziz al-Tarifi, where you find this man speaking about issues of religion, hadith and fiqh, answering people's questions, issuing verdicts. But in reality, what they want is to become people of reference, become people that others will refer to when they think about scholars. So once it is established in the minds and hearts of the people that these are scholars, then they will begin their work to infiltrate and attempt to disturb the rule of law and oppose the Muslim leaders in trying to wrest and wrestle the leadership away from their hands. So in that particular regard and from that angle, they are even more dangerous than the Muslim Brotherhood, whom, as you have heard earlier, had no real concern with education, no real concern with knowledge, which makes them easy to expose and easy to figure out. As soon as the people of knowledge look at what they are upon and what they are saying and what they are writing, it becomes immediately clear that they have no connection to the knowledge, no connection to the Quran or the Sunnah, unlike these individuals who are from this splinter group, Sururiyya, because they have a certain concern with knowledge. However, it is not a concern with knowledge for the right reasons. Rather, the knowledge is being used as a ruse and as a backdoor by which to enter upon the people and to reach some kind of influence where they could reach their agendas and their goals thereafter. And the Shaykh concluded with that, Jazahullahu khayran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the brothers who have organized this event. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for all of us. And I ask Him Jalla wa ala to accept from us and from all those who have participated. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka wa an'am ala nabina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.